time out of your busy schedules to attend this meeting, either in person, streaming, or on 307.net. As we stand to recite our Pledge of Allegiance, I ask that you take the time to remember a day 22 years ago when a series of events that will never be forgotten, when the United States came under attack on its own soil. Let us never forget September 2001. And let us never forget the 3,000 U.S. citizens who lost their lives on that day. Would you please stand with me in saying the pledge? I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Day that never will be forgotten, I ask you to think. Does everybody remember where they were when they heard about the news of September 11th? At this time, roll call. We are missing Mr. Brown. He is the only one here. Not here, excuse me. Public comment. We have one public comment. Patty Irwin from Buffalo. Patty? Come on up, so we don't want to embarrass you, but,
do you want to get
and I would like for you to use the mic.
All right.
Thank you, honey.
Is it
okay? Oh, reminder about 5 minutes.
Okay, all right.
Thank you.
So I am Patty Irwin. I've lived in Buffalo for about 24 years. I've taught in Buffalo for 20. I've written a petition letter on the salary advancement. Later today, you guys will do the salary advancement. If you could read my letter, I urge you to read it. Second. And, sorry, I'm a little nervous. I can stand in front of kids. read my letter petitioning the board to grandfather me in on the salary step, on the step increases, on the step movement, and weigh current board policy just in this instance. If you guys have any questions, I can answer them during an executive session. Okay. I think you guys were giving the letter.
Yeah, we just got it.
Okay, all right.
So Jan, I want to ask her a few questions if I can.
This is really our time to listen, but if you...
Oh, that's right. Wait, just a listening. I'm sorry.
This is just our time to listen. So.
Yep. Okay.
And Patty, if things don't, I'll just make a statement. If we do not, we can vote with the salary advancements. That does not mean that that'll be the end of the issue. Does that make sense? So it could go in effect next month?
Okay.
Because we just got this,
right.
And I think we're going to need some time to
okay.
digest it.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you. Do we have any other public comment? Marcy Schuler, are you here? Is anybody from the right row here? Okay, they were going to make us a... No, Marcy was going to give about a 10-minute overview of the right row. She was just going to give us a presentation, so...
Oh, gosh. No, I'm not going to give a presentation. But we do have a bunch of kids, and we're starting on the kids, so... There you go.
Thank you. All right. May I have a motion to accept the agenda as presented?
So moved.
Second.
Discussion. We do have one discussion. Connie? This has to do with a action item that we may need to add.
So today, you should have received a memo from...
So Connie, why don't you grab the microphone?
Yep,
So today, you should have received a memo from Bridget on the question that Mr. Bellis brought to us at the Wednesday work session. So my recommendation is... whatever pleases the board. I think that we presented everything about the application that we were that we were that we submitted. We talked to you about, every time we talked about the budget, we talked about that recapture loan and how we wanted to move forward with that. I think last month I had the application actually attached to my report. So I think as a board and as an administration, we did all the right things. We gave you all the information. We communicated it very, very well. The question was, should the board take an action, make it an action item? That is totally up to you. We spoke to several districts today. We talked to WDE, and the majority of them said they do not have the board approve that. Some people put it on a budget resolution. So it really is up to you guys how you feel about moving forward with this recommendation. So my recommendation is whatever the board, it pleases the board, because I don't think we're wrong one way or the other. So.
I did notice the last sentence that was on that memo from Bridget was, you're not in violation if you don't, or you're doing something right if you do. So it's up to the board. Would you like for us to add that as a motion item? Action item, excuse me?
I actually think we should, Jan. And the reason I think that is because what I read, it shows that all loans need to be approved by the board, is what I read when I read the two or three pages there. So I think it would be good. And Connie, you did everything right. I just want to make sure we are in compliance.
And I think that is a perfect way to do it. I mean, yeah. I have there's, no problem with
that way as an action item. There's no hiding anything. The public knows. We know. We can look back in a minute and say, yes, we approved it at the KC meeting. So, yeah, Jan, let's do that if we can.
Do we help you with Robert's rules here? Do I need to make an amendment to our consent agenda?
Well, it depends on where you're going to put it.
We will put it under the action items.
Yeah. Action
items. SB, approve the WDE advanced 106 cash advancement for the amount of 3.88, 3.510, over 3 million. I would like to just say 3.9 million, but I will have the right amount when we make the motion.
Very good.
So, may I have a motion to accept the agenda with
the amendment?
With the amendment of adding an action item B.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. The agenda has been accepted with the new action item. Student video. And I'm so glad we're here in KC tonight. KC will be our spotlight school, so here we go.
Thank you.
goes without saying, the JCSD1 is off and rocking and rolling. So thank you for the video. At this time, principal reports. I'd like to remind everyone, if you're watching by stream or any of our stakeholders, you can go on and watch all the principals' videos. And I would encourage you to do that. They're very good, and they take it very seriously, and they're kind of being a little creative with them, and I really appreciate it. So, our spotlight, Mr. Oski, do we want to start with our spotlight? KC.
Absolutely.
All right. Mr. Evans, I was disappointed. I did not see you in the cha-cha dance.
That's because I'm here.
Okay.
Very important spot.
Let's get a microphone here.
Yeah.
Mr. Evans.
I'll quit using my shop voice.
Well, we want to make sure everybody can hear you.
Okay.
So, for the spotlight, I'm going to turn it over to some wonderful young people here in a minute from our student council and our very young student council advisor. So, I'm actually very proud of our student council and what they've accomplished. We have a very active young group who's led by a passionate gentleman dealing with student council leadership. As you saw in that video, and you'll probably see later on in their presentation, they are committed, they go above and beyond, and they actually put KC on the map multiple times throughout the year through WASC. So I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Seid and his wonderful crew.
Yeah, so to give a little recap, these guys, obviously, last year's WASC had some graduates on that are not here. This is our new student council for this year. They are a phenomenal group of young people, volunteered a lot of their extra time already, came in early to get things going, to kick the year off. And yes, you're gonna see in this video some highlights of all the things that this group has done and the group before there, and we're gonna introduce you to them first of all. I'm Dustin Seid, the advisor.
I'm Casey Pryor, the vice president.
I'm Casey Ledoux, the president.
I'm Kate Maxwell, the reporter.
I'm Kate Ledoux, the secretary.
I'm Levi White, the treasurer.
Casey thought it would be weird to talk about herself, so I'll talk about Casey. So I had to prompt her a little bit. I brought up the idea last year when we went to WASC, hey, you should run for a state office or at least a regional rep state person. So she's like, I don't know if I really want to do that. And I was like, no, you're really good at it. I think you could do this. And then she, probably family encouragement, people's encouragement, my encouragement, she decided to go for it. Spent a lot of time writing her speech. And so when we got there, she agreed to run for regional rep of our whole central region, which includes schools like Kelly Walsh and Natrona, Glen Rock, Midwest, us, several big schools. And so that night she had to stand up in front of about 100 people in a room and give of her peers and give her speech and then answer some questions. And she was up against the incumbent from Kelly Walsh, who you would think probably had a fair following and had a big show that she put on. And at the end of the vote, Casey beat her. So she's done a great job. She's traveled around. She's going to travel around more this year to go to some of the other events that we have. And she's part of the state crew, along with the state president, vice president, secretary and treasurer, and the other regional reps. And they plan a lot of the state stuff. They're involved in planning the WASC for this year. And so she's done a great job representing us and putting us on the map with that win.
So I'm going to talk about our WASC highlights from last year. And WASC is the Wyoming Association of Student Councils, and there's like a big convention. It's like state for student council. So Our school raised $1,151 for Make-A-Wish, which is a lot for a 1A school, and almost beat some of the 2A schools I think we might have. We were also recognized as an honor council, one of only 11 schools, which is a big deal. It's like a record book, basically, for your student council. Is that how you sum that up?
Yeah, it's a record book, and it's just showcasing everything that we're involved with the community and everything they've done, and being able to showcase that. She forgot the meritorious distinction.
I can't say that word.
That's a big distinction. There were a few other councils that were just honor councils, but there was only 11 in the entire state that were with meritorious distinction.
We also had some officers, myself and Abby Chapman, who graduated last year, did a leadership workshop. So you just teach other students all around the state different things about leadership. So that was a good way to get involved. We had an Advisor of the Year nominee. He didn't win, but he was there. And then the Hidden Hero Award is an award given to one person from each student council who is behind the scenes doing a lot of work. So Addie Hill, who also graduated last year, received that award. And then Abby Chapman was an All-State Student Council. So a lot of awards. These are some pictures from it. This is called the T-shirt exchange, which is super fun, just kind of representing your school, so each school gets to make a T-shirt. And this year, actually, we have a really cool T-shirt design. We filmed a TikTok video, and it's on a QR code, and so you can scan your QR code on our T-shirt. Yeah. All right, next up is Suicide Prevention Week is a big thing in our school, which is actually next week. But last year, Bill Hawley spoke about the stigma of suicide in small communities and how we can remove it. It was about an hour assembly. And then we had a walk around the track because physical activity is really positive for a lot of people's mental health. So we had a 15-minute walk around the track, and we wore the National Suicide Prevention colors, which the ribbon is green and the other colors are orange and yellow. There's our T-shirt design. Okay, right here is, we took a picture with Bill Hawley, and there's our student council from last year wearing the colors. In this picture, Addison Hill was opening up a little bit about her own mental health to break the stigma, and the other two were us walking around the track. Okay, so every year we choose a theme to decorate the school. The week before school starts, and the little kids really love to see the decorations. So we choose a theme every year. High school boys don't always treat it well, so you can't see much left of it, but we work hard doing it, and it's pretty fun, so.
First day every year, we do an assembly for the first day so students can get excited and the students get to know each other in case there's any new people. And then we can get to know the student council officers, who they are, and it's a great way to have the students have a little fun.
This is the elementary dancing. As you already saw, but so our future plans. This week is homecoming week, so we have dress-up days. Today was pajama day. Tomorrow is Barbie and Ken day. The next day is Cowboys versus Country Club. And then Thursday, we're running it off with Spirit Day, so our school colors. So we have volleyball and football games. Our football and volleyball games, we have one on Friday, and then we just have volleyball games on Saturday. And so we do Macho Man volleyball. So basically all the boys play volleyball, and it's really funny. And Powder Puff football, so then all the gals, you know, we get to be beefy and play some football. But it's just flag football. And we have a parade on Thursday. And at the football game on Friday, we do homecoming royalty for all of our high school grades. And then, yeah, we have a new amazing student council t-shirt design, which Casey talked about earlier, so...
Nice job. Thanks. Thank you, guys. Do you have any questions off of my board briefly?
Would you like to give us just a little synopsis of your white top proficiency in advanced?
Yeah, so last year, one of our marks, we were not meeting expectations in the, achievement section, and we moved that mark from not meeting expectations to exceeding, so we accomplished that in 1 year. The one area that I think we're going to focus on this coming year is in growth. So the cool thing is we're doing well when you look all the way from 5th grade through 10th grade on the white top. However, I think ACT is what bit us a little bit. And so we're already in the works of planning on maybe a December ACT open to any of the juniors and seniors to take so that they can get at least one chance at it. So we're thinking about opening up that opportunity. So we're in the very preliminary stages of planning it. And then, of course, with the use of Naviance, we now have access to, I believe, up to 6 ACT tests that the students practice test that the students can work through and prepare for. So, honestly, I think that's the mark that we need to do to move, and that would be the one orange area that we need to get rid of, and that's our goal. So, or at least my goal, sorry.
Do I have any other questions from the board? Thank you, Jake. Well done.
Thank you.
Mr. Oski?
Yep. All right, so does the board have any other questions for any other the leadership team that's here?
Did you guys actually switch to the different schedule that we talked about earlier this summer, and you got out of the block completely? And if so, how's it going?
It's going really well.
So let's have Gib grab a mic.
Thanks for the question. We did switch from our mixed bag 8-period and block days a year ago to straight aids. So 8-period days, 5 days a week, going really well. Reports from students are that they like it a whole lot more than they used to. And everybody kind of feels that their days go really fast, and that's not a bad thing either, right? It's not dragging. So teachers reporting, benefit for teachers is that they get to see every student every day. And that's a big deal, especially for our freshmen and sophomores.
Well, thank you for doing that. And I did want to just say thank you, everyone, for making the video. I love seeing all your faces on your reports and hearing you.
So, Gib, if I could ask you, what happens on Fridays? Do the kids do all 8 periods? All 8 periods. And so that really makes for a very short period. You kind of get in, get out, maybe don't accomplish much. Is there any value in just having your core classes on Friday? Just a thought.
Well, so, I mean, I can understand the logic behind the thinking, but then we're saying that cores are more important than electives.
They are.
And when we talk about things like CTE and career readiness, that's not necessarily going to get us where we need to go. So we've been doing all eights. This will be our third year of doing all eights on Fridays. So initially, when I came, so that we'll have three full years, we were doing alternating blocks on Fridays. So one Friday, first Friday of the month, we do 1-3-5-7. Second Friday of the month, we do 2-4-6-8. 1-3-5-7, 2-4-6-8, which really meant that teachers either saw their students 3 days a week or 4 days a week. And that's not enough student contact time. So we went to all eights midway through my first year on the Friday.
Thanks for the explanation.
Yeah, absolutely.
More questions? Ms. Grosky.
All right, we're to the supervisors then. So we're going to do this time too, as the supervisors are here, the same thing. They are present. Do any of the board members here have questions for, as we'll start referencing our ops team, but supervisors that are here this evening. So that would be facility maintenance, technology, food service, transportation.
So I do, as always. So Ricky, in your report, and I just want to make sure that I understand this correctly. So if someone uses the Link account, okay, it says that there's a $2.85 charge per transaction. So is that a one-time fee at the beginning of the year if you hook up with that? Or if I go get lunch today, it's an extra $2.85, and if I charge tomorrow, is it?
So the Link Connect is the online payment portal. So it's not a per meal that they purchase. So I get online to make a $100 payment on my son's account. Then I'm going to get at least $2, whatever that was.
$2.85.
Or the 3.25% of that transaction. So it's not a daily fee. It's just a convenience fee, like you go to the grocery store or you go somewhere and you use a credit card, you get that fee. You go get your hair cut, you get a fee on your for using your credit card. It's a convenience fee to use that system. And that goes to Link Connect, not to us.
Per calendar year or
no,
school year?
Each time. If I made a payment on my son's account today, and then next month I make one on my daughter's account, it's each time I make a payment on their account.
Got you. Thank you for clarifying that.
The bus for board. Sorry. So, can you tell me a little bit more about the fire and smoke simulation that you did? And is that the first time you've ever done that, or is this going to be a routine thing? Because I thought that could happen, and that's really great to be prepared for an accident like that.
Yes. So, thank you for the question. So for those of you that didn't read the report, during our professional development day with our training with our bus drivers, we borrowed from the Johnson County Fire Department a smoke simulator. So it's like at a rock concert. It's a non-toxic fog. And we fogged a bus completely where you couldn't see. We did that with all of the transportation departments sitting on the bus so they could experience that. And then after we evacuated that bus of adults, we then put a dummy or a doll-like person in the bus, and we challenged our bus drivers to go back inside, find that person, and we would move them from place to place, whether it's under a seat or up in a book rack, to simulate what a child would be on the bus. And it brought a lot of questions to light, and no, that was not the first time we've done that. We did that quite a few years in the past. I was able to sit through that, and I thought it was good to bring it back up because we have a relatively new team of bus drivers that hadn't experienced that. And once again, thank you to the Jones County Fire Department for letting us use that. And moving forward, I would like to continue that training. I've talked with Mr. Oski and our admin team a little bit about maybe requiring that for activities for our older students. just to make sure that they all know how to evacuate the bus and moving forward. We do evacuations with all of our route bus drivers. They're required each year to do two of those. But a lot of these students don't ride a route bus. They may be driving themselves to school. We're hoping that we've covered them through the elementary years so they're aware of that, but maybe moving forward, that's something we need to implement for our activities each, whether it be fall or spring activities, that we get with the coaches and say, okay, football team, we learned how to evacuate the bus. We might make it real world with that smoke simulator. Definitely an option.
So, Mr. Zink, I can tell that you're just itching to answer some questions, right? And so, John, one of the questions I have was at the Cloud Peak, 28 new TVs coming in. Are they replacing old TVs, or is this a new learning style? What do we have going on there?
Well, I'll need some help with Christy on this, but the visual displays in the building, the original learning walls, if I'm correct by saying that, they're being upgraded with new technology, with TVs and the learning walls. Touchscreen interactive, I believe. This is more in Christy's wheelhouse. We've got 28 of them roughly to go into the classrooms. And we'll be doing a trip over to Cody on the 20th. Mr. Anderson, Christy, myself, and Mr. Dallas will be going over to visit Sunset because they did this last year, the year before. This is how they did it because it's a cookie cutter school.
So, John, do you have a contractor that's going to install them, or is your team going to do it?
No, we're going to put this up to bid. We're going to do a mock-up.
Gotcha. Okay. So then my other question was real quick is, so you talked about Clear Creek Middle School. The audio enhancement is 50% complete. So is that the headphones that the kids wear?
No, that's the classroom systems. The teacher wears a lapel and projects the sound to the students. And the students, when the system is finally out, it'll help with Val's kiddos because they can link and if they have hearing impairment. They can link any of that so they can boost that.
So is that a headphone they wear, John? How do they hear?
No, if they have a device in their ear, then that's how they do it. It just boosts about those four speakers per classroom, so it really
gets
their attention.
So do they have a timeline? When do you think that'll get completed?
They've been struggling with manpower, trying to get people in. I know we have five men on the ground this weekend, and they're going to have another 4 to 6 this weekend, trying to boost the production of that.
Okay, thank you, John.
Any other questions? Mr. Zink, I will tell you the fields look very nice. Appreciate it.
Even the leaky spots.
Well,
don't look at it today, there's two pretty big holes.
I saw that. I thought two big models were out there or something. And I would like to say we used to do those evacuations on before every first trip of every year. I know one year we were going down the road, Mr. Cannon pulled off and just yelled, "Fire!" And we're like, "What?" So we have done those before. So we have facilities, nutrition, technology, transportation. Do I have any other questions? Mr. Roski.
So just a couple quick highlights. So one of the things that John didn't point out is the number of tickets that were served between technology and facilities. It's over 500. You didn't get an opportunity to see that in that report with where they're at. I also want to bring it to, it's not just an audio system in the classroom, it's the Bell systems that are being installed. So this is a pretty complex system, and that's ultimately our goal, not only with audio enhancements to be the same district-wide so we can maintain one platform, but that includes what we're doing with Mercata and the keyless entry system. So you're going to see a lot of this work over the next couple of years to get all the buildings up to one platform as we move forward. So with that, as a Board of Trustees, do you have any questions for me on my board report?
Ms. Drosky, would you like to expand about the schools being meeting expectations?
Absolutely. If you don't have any questions for me, there's a couple highlights there. So if you look at that, and you look at the state report, all schools in Johnson County School District number one met or exceeded expectations. So that's a pretty phenomenal achievement, I think, with where we're at and the score. So Dr. Miller is going to work, as we know him as the data man, and work with building administrators to identify those areas. But the reality for me also is we have a peer review, and that document's due next week. So the intentional focus of where we're at, a lot of time and effort over the next 5 to 7 school days to get that report ready to submit. But the exciting news about that is we had over 30 people that want to come to the table and present why this peer team is in Johnson County and tell our story. So that's super exciting, trying to organize some of that. Jake and his staff will kick it off now from 2 to 4, the day before. So they actually get more people than anybody else in the building around the district. So they will have 4 people from the state visiting KC. So they will actually kick it off on the 2nd of the afternoon. And then we have a full day on the 3rd. And then we wrap up on the 4th. So a lot of great things happening in the district. It's good to have those report cards back, but also the time crunch is on for us for our annual 5-year peer review, which I have to be honest with you, is still not the full accreditation report. The accreditation report is due at the end of October. So once we get through the peer review, we will begin that documentation to complete that. So with that, a lot of exciting things are happening, and I really want to highlight that piece, but I'm super excited about the team and the number of people who are willing to come to the table and tell their stories while the peer review is here. So.
I noticed on the enrollment the change from the first day of school to September 5th. Can you explain why we lost 11 kids in that?
So part of that is when kids, we assume they're coming in or they transferred and then they registered out. So on the first day, there's always that gap that happens pretty much every year. So we assume they're coming back, but the reality is we get transcripts in the mail that they move somewhere else or they homeschool. So typically, to be honest with you, that's a pretty low number for this size of district to have. So we were pretty close to where we were, but that's typically within the first couple of weeks you'll really solidify what we have for students.
And Jody, just so you know, they do, it's like a big manhunt to find out where these kids have gone. Some, like you said, some just move and never tell anybody. And we have 10 days to find out so we can drop them so that we're legal with our enrollment.
And in addition to that, not every school starts on the same date.
No.
Some start before, some start after they're, if they move to a larger district. You might not get transferred over your squads for at least a week or sometimes a month with where they're at. And if they're definitely out of state, there might not be a transcript request until the family actually moves in. So.
Any other questions for Superintendent?
All right, with that, we are up to curriculum and learning.
I've asked Dr. Miller to give us a few highlights. I know he did at the work session, but I'd like to kind of review again today.
Oh, you're talking about the accountability reports more or less? Or
no.
Don't all just any old highlight.
Right.
I think Mr. Oski
did he steal your thunder? I'm sorry.
I know he stole
it. But you can say it again.
No. I just think it's exciting that we do have so many people wanting to tell their story, their narrative within the district. They emphasize we have plenty of evidence showing, you know, the different sections that we have to present on, and they really emphasize having the story told from our, you know, our constituents. And so with so many people willing to share that story, it's going to really enhance that peer review. And so that's the exciting piece about this. That's the highlight. Just it's the weirdest season for me being a data geek, focusing on peer review instead of focusing on data. This will never happen again until 5 years from now. But that's what we're doing. We're trying to really get ready to tell our story to the peer review team. And so that's what we're focusing on right now.
Did you want to discuss the equity and growth
We can, or we can let the principals talk about it. We're going to work with each principal, of course, with that. So we can wait on that, unless there's a specific question about it.
I would like to tell the board that Lynette, myself, and Travis, we will be doing 2 minutes. 2 minutes, that's all we have, a piece to kind of tell the board story. And we're looking forward to that. Any other questions for Dr. Moore? Thank you for your video. It was very well done. Thank you.
Thank you.
Val, I didn't get much time to read the report. So was it? I didn't get it.
I didn't either.
Well,
it wasn't on there.
Okay. So how about a few highlights?
Well, I think the biggest is that Friday, the 15th, is Special O. So they're bowling in Gillette at Camel Lanes. The individual bowlers will bowl, I think it's 9 to noon, if I have it correct. And then the assisted bowlers, the kiddos that need a little extra help, they'll bowl in the afternoon. And so if you get the opportunity, I know it's in Gillette, but if you get the opportunity to go, it's always a rewarding experience for sure.
More questions? How is the SEEDS program proceeding?
It's good. We are missing one teacher still. It is posted and open, and so the middle school and high school teacher right now is covering both buildings. But other than that, it's growing. They meet regularly. They've come up with some new plans. We'll have Connie present to the board, the administrators tomorrow morning. She wants to make sure that they're well aware of all of the changes that we're making so that we can all be one big team. And so I've seen huge growth. And then I want to highlight, we have Melissa Brower from Abels we've contracted her. Huge support from parents. We sent a couple of our kiddos to summer camp with her, and they were just overwhelming support. And so when she said she was willing to come help work with us during the school year, I was all for it. And so she's been working with our high needs program right now. And she'll also work with some of our kiddos on transition stuff. And so it's been a huge blessing that she's been willing to work with us for the year.
Any other questions?
Madam Chair. I think I need that thing.
Well, that's okay.
Now, could you tell us what happened on the first day when the police had to come and what we've done to fix it? I'm not sure I don't understand.
Exactly.
Okay,
yeah,
fair enough. Thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you. Business report.
Vouchers report. It's got a little bit of a different look. So if you guys like that better than what we have been doing, let me know and we'll kind of continue doing that. We've highlighted anything over $10,000 and then we put a line at the end of each fund so you can kind of have an idea. And remember those totals should match what's on the front of the page. So that's kind of exciting. And another thing that we talked about at budget time was adding that all funds budget list. So I've added that to my report so you can kind of have an idea of how we are doing in each of those funds that we that you approved the budget on. So those are the kinds of things I wanted you to highlight in my report.
Is WH Warehouse, is that like for all the supplies, supplies that weren't in WH was in there a lot, is that the supply?
That's our part. That's the warehouse that we have that we're kind of moving away from, but yeah. Yes. We had me, I was trying to think of a vendor name.
The question, if you didn't hear, was on the what does WH mean in its warehouse that we're moving away from?
So, Kai, my question was on the summer paychecks for teachers program. So, you want to pay monthly, and I agree with that.
And so you're estimating that you're going to need about $3 million, $1 million a month.
Correct.
So then I went back and I looked, and in June of this year, salary and benefits were $1.74 million. July was $3.655 million. August was $752,000. And September was $517,000. Mm-hmm. And so that didn't make sense to me, and so I'm wondering...
Remember, we're only paying teachers out in June. So we're talking really about the teachers' salaries, not everybody combined. It's just that when we talk about paying teachers out, so we pay those three checks, and so it's not every employee. And the administrators have been done, they're through in June, and then they start over in July. So it really is about this. I was specifically talking about the teacher salaries.
So it's only teachers, janitors, people like that. They still get paid monthly. And my question was the million enough when I calculated the figures?
Correct. But for the teachers, yes, just for the teacher side, because we go ahead and pay all those. We'll continue to pay everybody normally, which is every month. So that doesn't change. It really was. We're specifically about the teachers' salaries. So, and I estimated it was last year is a little over $950,000 just for teacher salaries. So each paycheck each month. So we added all those together. And so I just overestimated at $3 million just to make sure that I had everybody. But it really is about specifically about teacher salaries, not about all the other ones, because we'll continue to do that normally.
And normally meaning they get paid at the end of June? Is that what you mean by normally?
No.
Monthly.
So
okay, I got it. Okay,
yeah.
I got it.
Yeah.
Connie, when is our next audit?
I talked to Kevin. It looks like it's going to be at the end of October or the first part of November. They haven't quite said that it'll be in the 2 week span there.
Is that our normal time?
That's what we did last year, so we'll see how that works and see if it's pushing it too late. And if it's pushing us too close to that December 15th deadline, then we'll move it back up.
Okay. Any other questions? Thank you. Rec Board, anything new to report?
There's a meeting tomorrow night. I'm not going to go to except for bowl game. But
you want to use Mark?
If you guys did not see or look through everything that the rec board actually, when we finally got around to divvying all that out, which was later than what we typically do, but it looks like over half of the funds came back to the school in different programs. I know that was a big thing for Randy Brown, but all in all, hopefully next year we'll have more to give, but I think we did a pretty good job.
So Marcia, just a comment. I've heard a lot of band kids that are pretty happy about getting some money for new uniforms after 20 plus years, so thank you guys.
Yeah. Any other? BOCES. BOCES is, we're in the process of doing the director's evaluation. Glenrock has come up with an idea, and maybe Connie can help us say why it wouldn't work or would work. The small schools are requesting for BOCES to be able to directly bill the WDE instead of waiting a year, because out of their budget, I mean, $250,000 out of your budget is quite a bit. And so, do you have any thoughts on that? Or would that something that could work?
I think it would be awesome. Because we have to foot that bill right now. And we don't get paid, we don't get reimbursed for that and till the following year. And that's spread out over 10 months. So, yeah, it would be awesome if we could direct pay.
Why would the WD fight it?
It would cost them a lot of money. They would have to hire somebody.
But they pay it anyway. I mean,
yeah, it's. I think statute maybe have to be rewritten. So I think it'd be a process. But yeah, I think it would help small schools. You know, just one kid could end up costing us
$250,000 to $300,000, and wow, if a small school doesn't have that in their reserves, it's going to hurt.
They have to find it in the budget somewhere, and that's what Glenrock was saying. They're really having a tough time.
Yes, and Glenrock is also a recapture district, so they had probably some cash flow concerns as well. Yeah, okay. So it would be awesome to have that.
Sometimes common sense isn't the best way to go. Is that what you're saying? Okay. Thank you.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
Got a comment now on this end.
Jake's going to beat us.
Just for the public, since we're having this conversation, it's not as simple
as
doing that, because they tried this once. Then we put a cap on special ed. We went back and we capped it. They come up with an idea that you can only spend so much money, and then if you didn't do it, and then it comes out of our general fund. So the reality is legislation has tried to do that, but in that process, we're the only one of the few states in the nation that does 100% reimbursement for special ed. Most of it's 80 or 70%, which comes out of that general budget. So it is a good it is a good thought, but I also want to be very transparent. The last time we tried this, we put a cap on special ed and froze a lot of different things through that process. So if we want to work with our legislators and talk about what that looks like, but I absolutely agree with Connie. It would make our world easier. It would probably even make it, now that they've separated special ed out, a little different story. But the reality is, we want to be very careful what we're asking for when we're only one of the few states in the nation that does 100% reimburse. And then we're going to start going after collections from the federal government in different avenues, kind of like free and reduced. So it is a very complex issue, but the reality is, as a Bochis, it would be beneficial. But there's a lot of trust that's missing also. Because that trust is, you just can't send anybody. There's a qualification process. There's a whole list of things that you have to do to prove in order to get to that point as we kind of move through that. So I just want to make sure everybody is aware that they've attempted, and then there was a freeze, and there's some different things. So it is something that we probably should look at, but the last thing I want to do is freeze special ed funding or get away from the 100% reimbursement.
Why would they do that, Ms. Roski? I don't understand. I mean, they're going to pay the money anyway. Are they just not wanting to pay it right then and there?
So their issue is cash flow, budgeting, and part of it's politics. And I mean, I'm not going to speak, but part of it is you got two different ends of the spectrum of who wants to pay for what, when we're the only state in the nation, pretty much one of the only state in the nation that is 100% reimbursable for special ed. So they feel districts, if they're held accountable, will make sure that those kids that qualify are really meeting the needs of to qualify before they go. So
okay, so that makes sense to me. They want to make sure that the districts are forking out the money first.
Because then they feel that that's a priority.
Right,
just speaking for a legislative. That's what you're asking me. What they're saying is there's an accountability piece. So they're saying if you become so easy that you can place any kid you want anywhere else, then it becomes something that you as a district don't take the time and effort to do it the right way. And that's a political perception that's out there with that process. We all know it's false, because if you know anything about special ed, the rules and regulations about qualifying and sending people, then they have to be accepted, they have to meet their program needs. It's a very long trail. But to simply say we can just send any kid where we want in the United States, not even in the state of Wyoming, in the United States, to pay for those services is kind of a false statement.
Okay, now it makes sense on what we're doing. Thank you.
Charles, when you talk about special ed as 100% reimbursable, and in those salaries, do they also reimburse for benefits, retirement, and whatnot?
So I'll let Connie speak to that. And so in reality, I want to say that it is 100% reimbursable if it qualifies. Let me change the terminology. If it qualifies for reimbursement, which is why we're tightening up what we're doing, because there are some things that if you ask for reimbursement to qualify, you're not going to get reimbursed for. So I'll let Connie speak to that.
So about 5 years ago, they started increasing retirement. And so once they did that, they did not make it part of the model. They took 2.5% out of the model, and it is paid outside the model, and so we can only get reimbursed for 12.69% of the retirement that we pay for special ed. It's reimbursed a different way. But yes, all salaries and benefits, from workman's comp to insurance to FICA to retirement, all of it's covered through special ed, special education.
With the exception of the
2.5, yeah. But we get reimbursed at the end of the year. We get that retirement reimbursement. That's part of that 2.5. So that includes everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions? Leadership. Oh, excuse me. Vote sheets.
Jan, we've not had a meeting or anything.
Okay. Leadership governance. As you know, we started on Wednesday. At our work session, doing it a little bit different, but Lynette Fox would like to give just a little bit of oversight on our leadership governance 2.13.
Going through through leadership and governance that we've added in the last couple of years to the general reports, everything that we've gone over, one of the important things that we as a board decided that was a self-evaluation. And so we came up with a plan. We had some training. We brought Sue Belshin earlier in the spring to do some training, go over leadership and governance with us, as that is one of our most important jobs as board of trustees. So following through with what have taken away. I feel, just in my personal opinion, that we, through evaluating ourselves as a board, we didn't give ourselves enough time, or were able to give each of us a clear picture of what each of us thought or feels that our leadership governance, how it pertains to us as individuals. And so one of the things leadership governance implies is that we work as a team. We are a governing board. We're not a managing board. We work together. We come to a consensus. If not, it's a majority. By majority is what rules a vote. And so I feel that with the 2.3, with the planning, we had a good document given to us, a good survey given to us, but I feel at this time that we need to go back and give ourselves some more time, give a better opportunity for each one of us as Board of Trustees to go through those documents together and really read them. As reported at our work session on Wednesday, we have 9 board members and we have 7 responses, so we're missing 2 responses. Again, we're a team. We all have to work together on this. And part of our oath is that we work together and that we come to a majority to make decisions and as far as a governing board goes. So we are working on looking at the district vision, the mission, and the beliefs. We have some goal setting that I feel like we need to work on for all of these things to obtain student achievement. So my suggestion to us as a Board of Trustees is that we go back and we make this a bit more of a priority on our end as trustees. We are the governing board and we are at the top, and to be a high performing board, I feel that we need to make sure that we all understand leadership and governance.
Thank you. And I think that's one of the reasons we have moved it to our Wednesday, so that we can give it the time it deserves. And I will apologize for not kind of glossing over it or not giving it the time, so I will do better with that. Okay?
Madam Chair, Just to be clear, I'm not pointing fingers at anyone. We are a team. I thank you for your consideration, and I just ask that we give it a bit more time, not just on your part, but on every single one of our parts.
Okay, thank you. Would anybody else like to say anything with leadership governance? Okay. Moving on to the consent agenda, may I have a motion to accept the consent agenda as presented? Do we have any discussion?
I do, Chair. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that became apparent to me when I looked through the warrants is the number of charges, especially the like staples. How many credit cards are actually out in the district? And I don't know the process. So if you're a teacher and you want something, do you take that to the principal and they order it, or how does that work? Connie wants to answer that. Awesome.
They go and they look at staples, at online staples, they decide what they want, they send a list to their admin assistants, and the admin assistants makes that that charge. And I think I think a lot of that is all the same order, it just says staples all the way down. So it's just individual line items. So it's not a huge, it's huge, but maybe the order is for $500 and there's 17 line items and you have 17 staples on there. So.
Yeah, there had to be like 50 charges. And yeah, I was surprised in 1 month there'd be that many.
Well, this month is going to always be that much because everybody's coming in and buying resources for the classroom. So, but it's just line items. They're just line items.
I saw some of the charges were $5.
Yeah.
It's just specific line items.
Back to the original question, how many credit cards are out in the district?
Oh.
Does everybody have one?
No. So I think each office, you probably have two or three in your office, right? Yeah. And then I think some of the admins have individual ones, but each building has several they check out, and they go through a process to check those out.
Thank you.
Is there like a limit when teachers submit, do they ever get rejected and say no?
Yes, they each have a budget amount, and every principal is different. So some principals may have $400, they have a budget for the year, maybe they have $500. It's up to the principals how they divide that up. But yeah, they each have a budget that they can't go over.
Any other questions?
I actually have a couple, two different things. Do we have a number on how many kids in our district are homeschooled? And it's just one of the things on here, and I just wondered if we had a number on that.
Yeah, it's like in the board docs information. I missed that.
Yeah, I didn't see it.
Oh, the 61.
35.
Oh.
Yeah. Where did you say 35?
What's it under?
Yep, 35 families.
But there's 61 children. Right? Okay. I missed that. Sorry about that. So my other question in the consent agenda, we have employment, we have the, I can't get my thing to work, salary advancement. Are we going to approve that even after we have the public comment? Or is that going to be open up for discussion in a executive? Or how are we going to do that? Because that public comment person is
right
on that list. So I'm just questioning.
And we just, I don't want to slight, and I want to be able to look at this, because no fooling, I just got this just as I sat down. So to do it justice, I think we need a little bit of time, but I think we can go ahead and go with the salary advancements that are presented. And that doesn't mean that we can't amend it if we so choose. But I need to go through and read the information.
No, I understand.
Okay.
So, will we have discussion in executive for that then, in regards to that?
It's kind of up to us.
I just think it warrants a discussion and some clarification on it. I mean, we couldn't ask those questions, and I think it's important that we have the discussion and we find out what is going on here. Because based on what I've read, there could be a potential error on somebody's part.
Okay.
For that person. So I think we just need to look into a little further.
But I would propose that we not do it at this executive session because we have other things that have already been planned. But I don't want to slight the issue. And is Patty still here?
No.
Okay, because I want to be more prepared and know what's going on.
Then I ask that we put it on the next executive session.
Okay. And does it have to be an exec?
I don't know. It's a personnel.
What, Ms. Broski?
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you.
Because it's personnel, so I'm assuming yes.
Okay. I just want to make sure that we're doing everything the right way. But yes, we can go ahead and do a salary advancement tonight.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other discussion? We've already talked about the summer paychecks. So, all those in favor of the consent agenda as presented, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Agenda has been accepted. All right, now we are on to our action items. May I have a motion to accept and go with the third party investigation?
So moved.
I'll second it.
Discussion. This is real bad.
I had it before.
I just want to say that the district has received a complaint, and we are following policy on how this will proceed. It has to do with... What's that? Yes, it is going to be pursued as an informal complaint, not a formal complaint. There will be a hearing, there will be an investigation. Per our policy, yes, we will be following policy 110% as always. Any other discussion? All those in favor of accepting the third-party investigation, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Investigation, the third-party investigation has been accepted. Yeah. I just want to get the writing done. Okay, we are now to our second item. May I have a motion to approve the WDE 106 cash advancement payment in the amount of $3,883,510 to be paid back by December 15th of 2023. And I would like to add, this is an interest-free loan.
So,
may I have a second?
Second.
Discussion.
Jen, I have the numbers a little different than you do. When I pulled off Connie's report, mine's $3,853,639.
Yeah.
Where did these are the numbers you gave me.
They're right. The first one was from my first submission, and then we had to resubmit the 100, and then that changed that number, that guarantee number, so it comes out as the number that I gave you, 3.883510.
$3,883,510.
What did you have?
So in the report, it had 3,853,639. In your business.
That's before the 100.
That's new 100.
The loan amount.
Yeah, but we've got a new 100 form which changes the loan amount.
Okay.
This is the latest 106.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm just curious. I'm just asking because it in your business
yes.
report
yes.
that was the number I pulled.
And I used it just copied and pasted from the last report I sent, so I didn't
okay.
change it.
Any other discussion?
So, Jen. So, Connie, as always, with a loan is, if I understood it right, the district will pay that back from the taxes that are collected in September and October, November, because it has to be paid by December 1st.
December 15th.
Okay.
So we'll be able to get that December 15th as well.
Yeah. because what we'll collect won't be quite enough to cover that loan, so you must have some other revenue or you're going to pull it out of reserves.
So we've got $1.8 million, I think that's what I said.
Here, Connie, please. Yeah. We need to have a mic. Wait a minute, Connie, please use a mic.
If you'll look at your bank listing there at the bottom, there's the proceeds and the loan expenditure that we just paid the WD back. So we have $1.1 million left. We'll hold that really tight. We won't spend that at all, and we will move that back, and then hopefully we'll have enough, yes. And if we don't, we have to use reserves, yes.
Yeah, because I looked at, like, say, what you'll get from the treasurer's office, and it would not make that deficit up. So,
yes.
Thank you.
Any other?
So,
Mr. Oski, this is discussion.
Nope.
Okay, thank you. All those in favor of the WDE cash 106 cash allotment payment in the amount of $3,883,510 to be paid back by December 15th, 2023, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion is approved. From the board, we do have a few reports from the board, and I would like to turn this over at this time to Kristen and Lynette. Can I have a mic so we can just go with those two? Okay.
So it was Charles and Jan and Lynette and I went to Gillette for one of the regional fall roundup for the School Board Association. It's an informal meeting/training that we get to enjoy every fall, and it's always nice to get the reminder that when we think we're experiencing something and we must be the only ones in the world experiencing that, every district is having the same struggles right now, recruitment, retention, especially with bus drivers, other classified staff, how to pay people livable wages and offer them benefits as part of that retention piece. So we had some really good discussions there. One of the items that came up is the Wyoming School Board Association has a Champion of Education Award, and it is their nomination time for it right now. The Champion of Education Award is awarded to those people who have made an outstanding contribution to the improvement of education in their local district. I think it would be more than fitting at this time, I'd like to make a motion to nominate Jan Johnson for the Champion of Education Award.
I can't vote, but I'll second.
I'll second that.
There are so many people. You know, I go to these conferences, and I feel this small compared to what other people are doing. I mean, I look at Jackson and their board member, and I just want to go, there are so many other people out there more deserving.
We have a second?
Yes.
Yeah. All in favor of having Jan, nominating Jan for the Champion of Education Award at the Wyoming State School Board Association. Signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion passed.
Well, I'm humbled. Thank you.
Okay, while we're at it, I was given an email from the Compass, the Light of Hope. Breakfast that they do in October. Our champion for children this year is Jan Johnson. She will be recognized through Compass for all things that she has done for kids throughout her years of service. Just a little reminder or note to put on your calendar. They do ask that we RSVP by October 20th. It is a free breakfast. It starts at 7 a.m. The doors open at 7 a.m. Breakfast starts at 7:30. The date for this Light of Hope breakfast is October 27th, and I believe it is at Colonel Bozeman's. at Colonel Bozeman's. And so we are, I, as a Board of Trustees member, am excited that that I get to serve with our champion from Children, Jan. It's exciting. It's an honor, and we're super grateful for you, Jan. Just a real quick as well, for me, attending the fall roundup, it was my third fall roundup that I attended, and every year it's fun to get to see new faces and familiar faces. Like Chris said, sometimes we think we as a board are struggling through and working through, and we're the only ones going through it. And through those relationships to other districts, there's Sheridan 1, 2, and 3, Weston, Campbell, and Johnson County in our region. And so it was exciting to see we're not alone in this job that we do, what's best for kids. And the relationships that we form through this fall roundup and the contacts that we make, we did a few really fun activities that Brian Farmer, who heads WSBA, he set up, and we were able to interact with other trustees throughout our region. And it's nice to know that we do have contacts out there, that if we, you know, we do have questions, or we just need, you know, hey, have you gone through this before? What, you know, what did it look like in your district? It was nice to be able to form those relationships, gain that contact information, whether or not we use it. I will note that Weston County was the leading county for the most board members attended. I believe they had all 9 board members present for the fall roundup. So I'm gonna give it to Johnson County. Next year, let's put this on our calendar and let's all try and make it. It's a great evening to get together and kind of go over on what's coming up in the school year and on the horizon for school boards. So, thanks.
Thank you. You got me a little rattled, can you tell? But thank you for the nomination, and I'd like to thank CASA for their nomination as well. At this time, our October work session will be October 4th, and our October board meeting will be October 9th. Anybody have anything else that they would like to add? So at this time, may I have a motion to enter into executive session per Wyoming Statute 16-4-405 for personnel reasons.
Madam Chair, I request that per the conversations that are going to exist per tonight, that Connie and Heidi be able to available to come in and answer questions, and we also have Val and Brandon available to answer the middle school issue that was questioned.
And we were having goals.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I'm confused on what you're doing. We're doing an executive. I was under impression of something else.
It's supposed to be superintendent goal setting, but it is under personnel, and we referenced that we have some personnel discussions in executive. So it's my interpretation that I was going to answer some of those questions. So.
Okay. All right. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Oh, sorry. We have a motion. I said the motion. So, we have a motion to enter into executive session per Wyoming Statute 16-4-405.
So moved.
And a second?
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. We are now into executive session. Thank you.